Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 27th and the 30th of November 2023. Hello, we are in December. It's the 6th month. We finally will find out in a mere, as we record this, it is the 1st of December, and we will find out in a mere 25 days who the hell is on the floor and who does it. Ooh. It's very exciting. What a week it has been this week. We have a butt ton to discuss. Joining me as usual is Ree. Hello, Ree. How are you? Wearing one of the six colours, I notice.
Yes. Well, I was trying to get ready and I thought, oh, what am I going to wear? And then I saw this and white. I've got to wear the Suki colour. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've ended up wearing the Sharon colour without even realising it. So that works.
Yeah, of course.
That works.
Yeah, definitely.
This week we have come as Sharon and Suki. Right, it is December and it is the final month of the year. So that means it is the final calendar change of the year. We have gone through an entire year of Sharon and now we are
also wearing the Suki colour.
What is this last picture going to be? My guess is something completely and utterly unrelated to Christmas. It'll be a picture of Sharon just standing there looking fairly Sharon-like. Are we ready though?
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
Holding a cup of tea.
That is just Sharon. That grunt she snuck in there, or Phil. I can't quite work it out.
I can't actually tell myself.
It's a bald man. She has got a perchance for bald men, to be fair. But I think that's very young Sharon as well, isn't it? Very young Sharon.
Yeah, it looks like Grant.
I think it's Grant. Ooh.
And for anyone who's listening, there's some nice holly around
her.
It's been...
Because Christmas.
Graphic designed on.
Yeah, because throughout the entire time that Sharon has been on EastEnders, there's definitely not a single picture they could have got for the entire history of EastEnders where Sharon was doing something Christmassy at all.
No.
Right, ladies and gents. Goodness me, do we have much to discuss. What a week it has been. Very, very, very exciting. Very, very good. But we've got a few more stories to get through before we get to the massive Suki, Eve and Nish story of the week. So let's get on with it. In this week's Albert Square After Dark. Right, ladies and gents, let's crack on with talking about, first of all, Karen, Sharon, Keanu, and the return of Love Muscle Malcolm. It's Karen's birthday, and we had some returns this week. This was nice. Chatham and Riley turned up. That was nice to see them.
Don't they look grown up?
No, they're just. I mean, how long has it been since we've seen Chatham? We haven't seen Chatham and Riley, I don't think, since the show returned after COVID. I think they left, like, towards the end of that.
And then they
never came back. So, this is the first time we've seen them in season 2 of EastEnders. So it's it was nice to see them. They didn't, you know, they were just there for Karen's birthday. It was nice. That whole scene had a load of kids that we so rarely see. It had not only had Chatham and Riley, Bailey was there, Mac and Mia were there as well. Just all the kids that don't often get to be often get that much screen time all got to go to Karen's birthday party. So that's nice. And it's a surprise party. But Karen is not in the mood for celebrating because she is too racked with guilt about the fake kidnapping, and she's too concerned and worried because the money's still there. She doesn't know what to do. Keanu's not helping because Keanu never does. And her mood is not improved when Malcolm shows up at the party for a surprise, which doesn't help at all. Were you surprised to see Malcolm again? Did you think we were going to see him again?
Yeah, did Mitch get in touch with him? Is that what happened? Is that why he turned up?
Yeah, because this Mitch has arranged this whole surprise party for Karen. Like, she wasn't expecting any of it. She wasn't in the mood for any of it either. And so invited... what's her name? Malcolm and
Candice.
Thank you. Candice couldn't make it for whatever reason. So Malcolm came on his own with a present. It was all very nice. You know, he was quite happy. But then Albie sort of runs up to him and he's like, "Oh, hello, little man. Yeah. And you kind of think, "Oh my God, is this where it all comes out?
Yeah.
But Sharon starts chatting to Malcolm and basically tells him what the family have been through recently. And Malcolm's like, "That's awful. Wow, that must be really recent after I had him for a week. You poor woman. You poor, poor woman." And then Sharon mentions the fact that he was scared of the fireworks and that she was worried about that. And then he starts to put two and two together and realises that he was the key component in a fake kidnapping.
He was the kidnapper.
He had inadvertently kidnapped a 4-year-old child, which, great. So Keanu has to basically shut him up and tell him that if you tell anybody about this, that we will take you down with us, basically, which Malcolm just kind of storms out. So Malcolm knows about this now. We'll come back to Malcolm in a second, but then Karen and Keanu sort of storm out arguing. Keanu has decided basically that Karen cannot be trusted. Of all people, Karen can't be trusted with like the money. So he runs over to the Taylor house and starts trying to like rifle through the flats to find the money. Then Mitch walks in during their argument, and Karen is basically forced to confess everything that has happened to Mitch, and Mitch is horrified. Now, obviously, reveals are going to happen at any moment now. So who is going to be the person that spills what actually happened to Sharon?
Can't decide. Will it be... Is Sharon going to find out? You think she's going to find out in time for Christmas?
Oh, God, of course she is. Of course she is. Because they're supposed to be getting married on Christmas Day. So she's obviously going to find out.
If it's either Mitch or Malcolm, they've surely got to drop Keanu in it because they both know that Keanu's involved as well. So how's he going to get out of it as well? Or is Karen just going to take all of the blame for it?
Well, this is the thing. You know, as we know, Karen is on her way out soon. So is Karen going to be the one that takes the entire brunt of any charges? I think your theory that you had a few weeks ago, the fact that Karen, obviously Karen's not going to die. So we know that Karen is probably going to get arrested and taken away. So that's our theory at the moment. Of course, mixed in with all this is the fact that Keanu has got his own secret to find out when he finds out that he's not the father of Albie, that Phil is. So it's all going to get very, 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 very messy. Oh,
so maybe when Sharon finds out, because obviously you thought that she already knew, perhaps she won't let on that she knows. Well, I don't think she knows.
No.
But maybe when she does find out, she won't tell Keanu and Karen that she knows, and then she'll go and tell Phil the truth and go, "They kidnapped your son," and then it might start getting even more dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, it's all going to kick off in the run-up to Christmas, isn't it? Because we know that they are getting married on Christmas Day because Sharon is in a wedding dress on Christmas Day. Unless, of course, Sharon does that thing that she did last time when she was in a wedding dress for a week. And do you remember when she was getting married to Phil and she was in a wedding dress basically for an entire month because the storyline just kind of kept going and going and going and she never had time to get changed? So unless something like that happens, but we know that she is supposed to be getting married on Christmas Day. So presumably, because it's Christmas, that's when everything is gonna kind of explode. And does that put Keanu on the floor Christmas Day? Time will tell.
Not after this week.
I don't think so. I think if you were to list the crimes that these men have done, Keanu's actually quite low down the list. He doesn't deserve necessarily to be...
Yeah, to be fair, kidnapping a kid now.
No.
He was sick, weren't he?
Kidnapping what he thought was his own kid as well, you know. Yeah. It's quite low down the list compared to what the other blokes have been up to, especially this
week. Says a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, but time will tell. It's very, very exciting. It's just the way that this has just been built up and built up and built up. And now we're in December. It's going to be white knuckle. I cannot wait. It's just going to be absolutely mental. I want to throw some accolades out this week. I thought Lorraine Stanley was great this week. And I tell you what, Roger Griffiths, who plays Mitch, needs his own storyline because he delivers every single time that he gets. And let's be honest here, the small crumbs he gets sometimes, because I don't think Mitch gets a huge amount of attention as a character. And I think it's time he did, because he is really, really, really good. I remember him in the climax of the Chantel story. He was amazing that week in Grey's final week. He was really good this week. Give Mitch his own story, guys. Come on.
He's a very good natural actor, isn't he? He's very natural when he's acting. And maybe him and Felix could have their own kind of little story, you know, uncle and nephew. They both need their own storyline.
They really do. Absolutely.
And Bernie. Well, actually, what we heard about, they're going to get one because Karen's leaving. So, well,
yeah, you have
maybe
to
that's
sort of
their storyline that they're going to get that's coming up.
But I think, you know, Mitch deserves, like, after, you know, obviously all the fallout of this as well. But I think he deserves his own sort of A storyline soon, I think.
You know what? Now we're saying that, I think it might be Mitch who lets it slip, you know. Because,
you reckon?
Yeah, because him and Bernie were really worried, weren't they?
Yeah.
And I know Karen was scared to confess it to him and he said, oh, I could never hate you. And then she says what it is, and it's like, oh no, that is.
Oh no,
like,
oh no, sorry, I do hate you now, sorry.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah, I can. Yeah, take that back.
Yeah, I do hate you now, sorry.
I'm just wondering what's going to happen with the money, because I think somehow, I mean, people saw that she put a bar tab behind the bar. How unlike Karen is that?
Alarm
bells.
Yeah, I mean, this is the woman who goes into any sort of events, whether it be a wake, whether it be a funeral, with a little doggy bag to Nick's
little
sausage rolls.
Little box,
for the week. And then all of a sudden she's flashing like 200 quid to throw behind the bar. Not her brightest moment. Come on, Karen. Right, so we shall find out how this is. I think this is probably going to play more into next week, and we'll see Mitch sort of dealing with this secret and how he goes about, like, what he decides to do about it. Karen's time is ticking down, we have to say. Right, ladies and gents, on to the next story, and that is Stacey, Theo, and we predicted it, Jack. On to Stacey, Jack, and Theo now. Now, actually, this took some stories that I wasn't expecting in new directions. So it's the day of Theo's plea hearing, okay? So last week, we know that Theo turned up on the square and wanted to talk to Stacey. Now, she's kind of wondering about whether to go and talk to him or not. Jean, obviously, is completely and utterly against it. Eve will only let her do it if she lets her go with her. What were you thinking was the plan for Theo? Like, did you kind of have any idea what he was wanting to actually say to her?
I thought he was either going to offer her some money.
Yeah.
Because he seems to always be minted, Theo. So I thought he was going to maybe offer her some money to, like, you know, retract a statement. Or just blackmail her somehow. I don't know. Other than that, I didn't really know what his plan was for her.
I don't think it seemed that actually he didn't have one. Stacey had a plan, but it seemed that Theo just sort of wanted to say, he wasn't saying sorry, but he wanted to sort of be like, is there really no way that me and you can, you know, have a history together? It's like, oh my God.
Oh, well, Theo,
everything.
Theo just thought, I want to get back with my ex. That's how he was viewing it, weren't he? We're like, let's not be silly. This is just a silly.
The silly tiff we're having now. Let's just all put this to bed and then we can forget about it. This is delusional. But Stacey goes with a plan. Her idea basically is to persuade Theo. Do you know what? Actually, I've had a think about this, and me and you, it's a possibility. All you need to do is plead guilty. And, you know, when the consequences of that have played out, me and you, we shall ride off into the sunset together. Now, Theo at first seems to see through this. Okay. So when the actual plea hearing arrives, obviously Stacey's gone, Martin's there. And like Martin has his arm around Stacey and she's like, get off me because I need him to think that I still fancy him. You know, all this sort of stuff going on. And you sort of think that Theo's seen through all this and then he actually pleads guilty. Now, was that Stacey's plan working or was this a final moment of him actually realizing what sort of person he is?
No, that was Stacey's plan. Working.
Do you think so? Because I didn't think that when he left her in the, when she left him in the pub. And by the way, that meeting in the pub, I thought Stacey was insane because I 100% thought that he was going to drug her wine. I thought I thought that's where that was going.
Yeah, I did wonder that because we saw him going to the bar quite specifically, and that did cross my mind. But obviously,
you know, and Eve was messaging her at the time, and she was distracted, looking down at her phone. I thought, oh my god, he's going to drug her. He's going to spike her drink with something. But that never happened. He literally just wanted to talk to her. But after the pub meeting, he seemed really angry and really sort of like hurt almost that he could see through Stacey's plan and told her to leave, but then still pleaded guilty, and which is what made me think that actually. He was just looking at Stacey and thinking, if I love her that much, I will do this for her. And then we'll see how it goes. Do you know what I mean? But I kind of feel that there's maybe a mixture of both in it somewhere.
Possibly, but I think he is that deluded that... I think she got in his head, actually. And he went, yeah. I think he maybe thought, if there's any way for us to have a future, then yeah. I know, I think he fully fell for it, personally, but...
But does he go to prison now?
Well, is this the first stage? So is this the magistrates? Then he'll have the Crown Court where they'll decide his sentence.
So he's not off the scene yet, basically. Because I was sat there thinking, wait, is this Theo gone now? Is this like, so who's Stacey's man? Yeah.
Yeah, so is he released on bail until the Crown
Court? Do you release attempted rape on bail?
I don't think you should.
If you do, I don't think you should.
But they probably do, because
if anyone knows, let us know in the comment section because I'm sort of, I kind of want to know what happens.
Yeah, I know
what
you're saying
though,
because also, like, surely then if he's not been released on bail ahead of the sentencing, then he can't be on the floor.
No, he surely gets kept in a cell. If he's pleaded guilty to attempted rape, then he's not going to be let out on the streets until his sentencing, is he? Surely.
You wouldn't think so, would you? But you know what?
I wouldn't think so.
People don't.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Seem to treat rape and rape claims that seriously, do they?
No, that's very true. I mean, please, someone, if someone knows, let us know in the comment section. Because actually, this very much depends on whether Theo is even a suspect for the floor anymore. Because if he is just kept in a cell now, that's him done. But if he's
I reckon he will be allowed out on bail.
I mean, it seems, I don't know, because I don't know whether this was supposed to be like a big twist where we were kind of like, oh my god, so that's Theo off the list then. So who's Stacey's man gonna be? Possibly Jack, but we'll come to that in a second. But
there is that.
Do you know what I mean? I kind of thought, well, does that just remove Theo from the list now? Or is he still there and could still appear in the run up to Christmas and cause a last bit of chaos?
I think he could still appear. I reckon he might be out on bail, you know.
Because he's already
out on the condition that he doesn't approach Stacey, and there's like some kind of, I don't think it's called a restraining order, but there's some kind of thing in place that he's not allowed to approach her, that he's not supposed to approch her.
Well, he's not supposed to get in contact with her at all, because he's not even supposed to be messaging
or
her
family.
Yeah, exactly. So we shall have to wait and see. So anyway, the court case has happened, and Stacey's not entirely happy with the result, because she actually also feels that even when Theo is out or free, he will always still be there. She can foresee her life always being this stage where she's constantly looking over her shoulder, you know, constantly scared of whoever's going to be kind of watching her and everything. So she gets drunk and goes to the park and just basically downs a bottle of vodka. This is the Stacey Slater of old, who we've not seen for a while.
Wait, the allotments? I thought she was at allotments.
The allotments, yeah. Now she rings Jack at this point. Now, for a start, when he answered the phone, it sounded like she was trying to ring somebody else. Now, was she trying to ring Max?
I thought Martin, actually. I just assumed Martin, because she were at the allotment.
See, I didn't think it was Martin at all. I literally thought, I thought the inclination was that because, you know, Max is Jack's brother, I thought that maybe the inclination was she meant to ring Max. Because I feel like the state that Stacey was in, I can't see her wanting to speak to Martin at that stage. I can see her wanting to speak to Max, because in a lot of ways, Max knows Stacey a lot better in that regard. You know what I mean? Because Max has been there for quite difficult periods of Stacey's life. So I think she was trying to ring Max. I really, really do. Because Max came up in conversation later as well, and Stacey basically implied that Max was like the one outside of Bradley who... There was a weird conversation about Bradley. We'll come to that in a minute. But basically, Jack picks her up off the floor, off the state she was in, and takes her back to Jack's house. And obviously, Denise is still on holiday. Sam has come round because Sam literally has nowhere to stay. So she's told to go upstairs and sleep on Ricky's floor. And Stacey and Jack kind of have the living room to themselves. Now, were you expecting... this is all leading into a place that we were talking might be coming quite a few weeks ago now, didn't we? So did you think it was going to happen in this week when they were alone in the living room, both getting a bit drunk together?
I was fully expecting something to happen, but then I thought Sam's in the house, so like why would
Jack's
Sam
done
be there
worse. I think
they both would have been thinking, oh, Sam's upstairs, maybe let's not. Or Jack maybe had his, you know, I've just picked her up in a very drunken state.
True.
Don't
very good.
Take advantage.
Yeah, no, that's quite right.
So, yeah, but obviously it's leading there, which I'm so surprised at this storyline. Like, I don't know.
I mean, he's a Branning, so in some ways it's a wonder this hasn't happened before, because Stacey does like a Branning. I feel like there's elements of it where Jack would remind her of Max, you know.
And yeah, I can see that.
For the first time in quite a while in this sort of storyline, Stacey is actually Stacey's single, you know. Stacey's technically not going to be doing anything wrong. This'll all be on Jack. Yeah, which is very unusual for Stacey in these sorts of storylines. They start talking about sort of past relationships. There's really nice scenes between the two of them, actually. You know, we get talk of Ronnie, where Jack basically says, yeah, Ronnie was the one. I love Denise, but clearly there's kind of thoughts going through his head. I do love Denise, but I don't think this marriage is working. You know, you can see it ticking through his head. Then Stacey starts talking about Bradley, and basically implies that Bradley was kind of, in retrospect, kind of like quite a good mate. Were you surprised by this? Because I thought the inclination was really that Bradley was the one for Stacey. I mean, he did fall off a roof for her.
No, because I've been watching some classic EastEnders, actually, and I can see why she said that they were more mates. I think Stacey were always trying to force it to work a little bit with Bradley, if I'm honest. But like I said, it's because I've been watching classic EastEnders, so I understand. But I know what you're saying, because we've always been led to believe that Bradley was her one.
Yeah, but then you sort of think as well, would you then go and have an affair with the one's dad? And
Probably not.
Normally, you're going after your partner's dad. You know, is that really going
to
happen?
Hell
to the no.
That's weird. That's weird.
It is weird.
Very weird.
So, you know, you kind of wonder. And Stacey and Max have always sort of, you know, orbited around each other, and they've got very sort of intense chemistry. They all, you know, whenever one of them has to leave, it's normally they are the last person they go to say goodbye before they inevitably go off. So I do kind of think that there is something about Stacey and Max even above Martin.
A lot of people, I've seen people online say that Stacey is Max's one.
Oh yeah, 100% Stacey's Max's one. Yeah. There's no question there whatsoever.
Is Max Stacey's one? I think they do really get each other completely.
They do.
So when you were saying that about that phone call maybe being to Max, I understand what you're saying. But then that could imply, seeing as Jack and Max are brothers, maybe Jack will be able to understand the real Stacey as well. Oh, you're totally right, though. This is just opening it up so much for Max to come back, isn't it?
He's so coming back. In the next 6 months,
In
the next 6 months, Max will be back. There's no two ways about it, all right? Max is coming back. And do you know why I also know that? Is because apparently there were photos going around. I'm not criticising Jake Wood at all for this, all right? You take the work where you can get it, all right? No shame whatsoever. But he was opening a cost cutter last week. So you know, if EastEnders rang him and said, do you want to come back? I'm sure he'd be like, do you know what? Yeah, probably now's the time. You know, nothing wrong with it. Like I say, no criticism whatsoever. You take the money where you get it in that industry. I know that. God knows I know that. But it's not like he's busy doing a load of, like, films or other TV series at this point, it would appear.
222 Ghost Story.
He's doing theatre at the minute, but I think that's done now. So he's free, I think, is what I'm basically implying.
Cleaners has managed to get loads of people back. It's the Cleaners era, isn't it?
Exactly. Why would you come back for this era?
Why would you not? Exactly.
Why would you not come back for this era? Come on, Matt. Come on, Jake. Well, yeah, 100% Max is coming back. There is so much for him to do at the moment. And if Stacey and Jack are going to start having an affair, Max needs to be there for it.
You already called it a sweet by accident.
She's going from stacks to stack. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely happening. It's definitely happening. But in the immediate future, Stacey and Jack. So now this has clearly been established. I don't think anyone will now be surprised when this happens. Okay, it's clearly going to happen. So what happens now? How long? Denise is probably due back any minute now. So are they gonna start having problems again when she gets back? Is the Ravi stuff gonna rear its head again, which pushes Jack towards Stacey? How do you reckon this is gonna play out?
Well, that's a point, isn't it? Because just before Denise left, which, by the way, implies to me how long of a break that she's had, that something huge is happening with Denise.
Huge is coming for Denise. Yeah. Maybe.
There was all the Ravi stuff, weren't there? And didn't she nearly get Jack into trouble, like, with his job over stuff?
Does this put Jack as a suspect for the floor, do we think?
I think I mentioned it last week. A lot of people online are adamant it's Jack who's going to be on the floor.
I wasn't convinced by it at all. But then this week happened. So, you know, affairs, very, you know, crimes of passion, all that kind of thing. And also, those cufflinks were given from Jack to Phil. And all it would take is Phil to go, oh, there's your cufflinks back, by the way. And Jack's got hold of the cufflinks again. You know, I think we thought the cufflinks were going to do a... Like, we're going to spend the whole year doing this mad round, you know, game of hot potato around the square. And it's not really happened like that. Like, Phil's kind of had them for quite a while now. So it would only really take Phil to return them to Jack, and Jack's got hold of them again.
I mean, there is time for him to get passed around again. But I do possibly think Jack is quite a... It'd be a big shock to everyone if it were Jack.
It'd be a huge shock if it was Jack. Yeah, but
and
like,
a part of me thinks it will be going to someone that's going to be a huge shock because it's been such a big build up.
What would Lauren and Penny be returning for? Is my question.
Wearing black. Oh god, they're just putting all these thoughts into his heads, aren't they? Because when we talk about the next storyline, we'll be adamant someone else.
Trust me, I'm convinced it's Nish. And to be fair to me, I think you'll agree that I've been convinced throughout the whole year it's going to be Nish. I've had a few sort of wobbles, but I genuinely, and this week has clearly done no change to that
still
whatsoever.
Feels too obvious.
I know what you mean, but anyway, we'll talk about Nish in a minute because, oh my god, it was exciting. I think Jack could potentially, I think Jack is now a fully fledged suspect for the floor. I will be amazed if it's Jack. I really will, because
Sam's back, so she can take her parenting.
Yeah.
Also, but if it is Jack,
but who's going to kill Jack? Denise or Stacey?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Denise isn't going to kill Jack. She won't.
And even
kill
if it's out, even if, no,
no way.
And even if it's outside of the six, which is another theory that I've kind of been thinking all year, that I don't think any of the six are actually going to be the killer. Who's going to want to kill Jack? If he does have an affair,
Thea.
Why would? Oh, what? Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Finds out that Stacey's been having, you know, a relationship with Jack. Could be Theo. And then it's going to be Theo on the floor, but it turns out that it's Jack. But I think I said something, so this is a slight spoiler, potentially, that I said recording last week.
Yep.
That James Bye said that Martin's got some big things coming for Christmas.
Well, yeah, because he's gonna be enraged with jealousy because him and Stacey aren't together. But I think Martin thinks that
they were going
one step
to be,
from
weren't
it.
They?
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, then it makes you think: would Martin get that jealous, or would? Oh, I don't know. Possibilities are endless.
Who knows?
We're a month away, and we're still
a month. It's only a month. It's only a month away. We're in six.
Well,
months.
It's this month, not even a month.
I know. How mad does that feel that we're actually in the month where we're going to find out? Anyway, Jack's in the suspect list. I think officially, we're going to stick him in our suspect list, but I will be amazed if it's Jack. I really, really will. Right, ladies and gents, talking about who our main suspect is, or who my main suspect is anyway, let's discuss Suki, Eve, and Nish. Right, ladies and gents. Hello, if you've flicked through the podcast, welcome to Albert Square After Dark to get to this point. Oh my God, what a week it has been for Suki, Eve, and Nish. Simon Ashdown did his thing, I think it's fair to say. I always feel, I've got to be honest, a little bit guilty how I constantly am like always gushing over a Simon Ashdown script and constantly, because there's so many other writers that do such an amazing job on EastEnders. And if any of them listen to this, I'm sorry, I love you too. All right. But you always know that.
Favourite, Rob.
I'm allowed a favourite writer.
I'm allowed a favourite.
Yeah. And you always know that when Simon Ashdown's on the credit, shit's gonna kick off, basically, don't you? You know that he gets given really big episodes to do, so you know you've got a good time coming. So, and my God, did we get some big episodes from Simon Ashdown this week. I mean, initial thoughts about where this is all gonna go, God only knows. But let's start at the start of the week where Suki, Priya, because if this feels like ages ago where we were talking about the letter,
it feels like a month
doesn't it?
Ago, that,
it really does. Priya has discovered the letter, it turns out, because yes. Suki and Eve have basically decided, right, let's just hang fire a second. Let's spend another night here. Eve needs to sort of be around Stacey until this plea hearing
stupid
thing is done.
Stupid idea. But
so,
yeah,
right. I mean, you can understand it because Stacey, and I think Stacey appreciated it because Stacey clearly
needed
help.
Suki staying was the stupid idea.
Oh, yeah, Suki should. This is the thing. This is what we said last week. Suki should have just gone, and then you could have just met her there when she was done. But that didn't happen.
Get a burner fern.
Yeah, because they had to be all romantic and leave hand in hand. All right, I get it. Lovely, and both had to leave in their rainbow kimonos. All right, I understand
well,
the romance
look how
of
that
it,
turned
but
out.
Look how that transpired. All right, honestly, silly. So Priya has read the letter.
Yes.
And she is immediately, I love Priya so much.
She's brilliant, isn't she?
She has, I'm going to say this now, right? And this is a big statement to make. She Finger. Has the potential to be the next Janine, I think.
Ooh. Oh, see, I know what you're saying. I'm expecting them to do a classic, you know, she comes in, bitter and hard nut and all that, and then she's going to end up softening. And
I don't
know.
Want that. I don't want that of Priya, because in a way that happened with Suki. Like, we know that Suki still has that side to her, all right? And I don't think we've ever really truly lost that side of Suki. It can always come out again at any moment. But there was, and I think Suki needed it. I think Suki needed those additional layers to her. But I think Priya could remain at this level convincingly. Like, you give her some vulnerabilities, you give her a layer. We know she's got vulnerability in Evani for a start. So we know that's there. But I think that Priya is one of those characters that you could just give constant feuds to, and she would just deliver every single time and just become more and more of a bitch and just get her comeuppance as and when the actress decides to leave. You know what I mean? Like, she could just stay around and be that sort of person, 100%.
Yeah, I can see what you say. I can totally see that, actually, but... Yes. I think she'll end up softening or something.
We'll see. I think there is a long future ahead for Priya, and long.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Stephen at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Makes you be around, because I think she's an amazing character and amazing
I was very,
as well.
I was so love-hate with her this week.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it?
I think even Suki was, actually.
Fair play. You almost felt like you almost felt there was a smidgen of respect for Suki. Maybe I can see those two having a moment where Suki might turn around to her one day and say, yeah, I can see bits of myself in you. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
But the Suki and Eve feud this week was as camp as I could possibly have wanted it to be, wasn't it? It was just, you know, all the raised eyebrows and all the smirks and the chewing of the apple and all of that kind of thing. It was just really
Suki
really
and Priya. Yeah.
Yeah. What did I say?
Suki and Eve.
What an idiot I am. It's because
I'm overexcited.
So I'm over it. No, that was very not feuding. What I did like was the fact that Priya and Suki basically make this arrangement. Suki offers her £2,000, and Priya turns around to her and goes, no, I think you'll find that's cheap, actually. I'll have three. Modest. She only had modest needs. Coming from all of these plots that we've had recently, you know, with Joe turning around and demanding 50 grand off Kathy and Rocky, it was quite refreshing to just have Priya ask for 3 grand. You know, she could do what she needs to with that. Have a nice night out. Buy Ivani a new school rucksack and she'd have a lovely time with 3 grand.
I did think 3 grand's not a lot in London. Cheap. And then I thought, do you know what? She's being realistic, actually, yeah. Isn't she, Priya? She's asking for something that she thinks that she can actually get.
Fair play. Yeah. See what I mean? This is a realistic woman. Less potential there. So Suki tries to steal money from the call centre. But Nish is watching her when she gives the money over and sort of they have to basically make up this story about like, well, Priya's found a flat and she wants a deposit. So she needed money quickly. So I've given it to her. Yeah. Yeah. And Nish is like, no, that's not happening. You're staying where you are. Takes the money back. So then they're sort of kind of like, well, what do I do now? Priya's kind of enjoying herself. So yeah, what are you going to do now? You're TikTok.
Yeah,
are you
going to get my money now?
Love her. So Suki's next plan of action is to take 200 quid out of the minute mark till and say, look, that'll tide you over until I can get some more money for you. Shut up. So give us this money.
Give me till midnight tonight.
I mean, I kind of half think that Suki's plan was to just basically give her that 200 quid and then be gone. And then what the hell is Priya going to do? Because I'm already gone by that point.
Yeah, that was a plan. That's what she was I'm sure she said at one point, like, well, as long as she can hold on, I'll be gone after that. Yeah. So as long as I tie her over till midnight.
But the most hilarious part of the week for me was the fact we had the turnaround with Vinny last week, and yet Vinny inadvertently was the one that caused all the dominoes to start falling. Mm. Bless Vinny. Poor useless Vinny.
Did he honestly not think that Suki took
200 quid down? Would you not go to Suki first and say, is that anything to do with just you? Before... Do I need to just before I go to Dad, should I keep quiet about this? That might have been sensible, is all I'm saying. When you know that your mum is about to do a midnight flit, would you not possibly think she might have taken 200 quid out of the money? Especially seeing as though they were talking about her needing money as well.
I did wonder this, right? And then I thought, actually, was Vinny thinking, I need to go to my dad straight away because he's so scared of him? That was my only thinking. Is that why he went to Nish first? Because he thought, if I don't go to him straight away, I'm one who's going to get in neck. And then he'll realise that I'm in on it. But I don't think that was why he did it. I think it was just Vinny.
We love him, but he was just Vinny. So what this ends up doing, because Suki and Eve have a little kiss in the minute marks, because they've been talking about getting these rainbow kimonos all week. So Suki pulls one out of the bag and it's just romance
on it. So
the kiss of the minute mark, could you see where it was going as soon as they started kissing in the minute mark?
Yes, of course. Like, oh yeah, do it in the secret minute mark where no one walks in randomly, or, you know, your entire family don't have the access to the CCTV. And then, of course, my brain were like, well, is the CCTV even working? Because it's Walford. Is that why they're being so risque?
Exactly.
No. We knew they were going to get busted. I thought Nish were just going to walk in, to be honest, and see it.
Yeah. Well, he nearly did. And at one point, that's where they were leading us into thinking that Suki sort of, I assume, had just pushed Eve into a cupboard and just get in there. And then just sort of played out. She's an expert in doing all this subterfuge. Mm. But the missing money leads Nish to, because he's thinking it's Priya, because he thinks that Priya is basically stealing from them. So he goes into the minute mark and looks at the cameras and then discovers Suki and Eve kissing on the cameras. Now, what a moment this was. It felt like an incredible duff-duff, didn't it? Because it was sort of just like, oh my God, he knows. All these months of build-up, and it has been months and a year of build-up to
year,
this.
On and off, yeah.
And it felt worth the wait, didn't it? I was kind of just like, oh, every episode this week, because you knew that it was going to come out this week. So it was just like every single episode, you were sort of just like waiting for the next one. I wanted the next one every single week. But he finds the video and just goes a bit insane, smashes the shop up a bit, cuts his hands. Then he sees Ravi. And what did you think about Ravi's role in this week? Did you see anti-hero, or did you think that Ravi was villain, or what did you think?
A bit of both, to be honest. I thought Ravi was going to calm him down and come up with some kind of different plan, but I think Nish just went rogue, didn't he? Because he was so angry when he took Suki's phone and did everything. I don't know, because we'll get on to Ravi. I've got a few thoughts about it all, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, 100%. So Nish, like you say, Nish has got hold of Suki's phone. Now, were you surprised that there was no code on Suki's phone? Because I ever thought about this.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, but knowing Nish
exactly
control, well, though, probably knows it.
No,
knows the code, yeah.
Even if she had a code, Nish would have known it because he would have made Suki tell him it. Like that's that's how these people work.
Yeah, but my partner knows my code and I know his because it's just a trust.
It's trust.
We don't go on each other's phone as well.
Yeah,
I don't know. Because, you know, if he wants to put a song on my phone, I'm like, here, it's whatever. Yeah. Here's my code.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. So,
but guaranteed that Suki doesn't know Nish's code.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yeah.
So he goes through her phone and sees all these months worth of messages between Suki and Eve. And you can just see his heart just breaking. I mean, anybody else, there'd be a modicum of sympathy there for him, because it's just like, you know, finding out your partner who you love is having an affair and has been for months and months and months, that will absolutely destroy you. I get that, but it's Nish, so you deserve every single thing that's coming to you. I want to do a shout out now to Navin Chowdhury. So rarely do the villains get their, you know, get a round of applause for their performances, but I think he's been incredible as Nish, and no more so than this week. Do you know what I think? I mean,
insane. Yeah. He, when he's on screen, you know he's on screen, don't you?
Yeah, 100%.
Like,
his presence is... Yeah.
You can kind of see why everyone's scared of him.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, there's sometimes you'll get a character like that and played by an actor where you just sort of like, yeah, okay, I get it that everyone's supposed to be scared of him, but I don't
yeah.
But you get it with Nish, because he's got this mm-hmm. instant sort of, he's got this sort of evil charm, but also the sort of personality where you think he could flip at any moment. He's clearly very, very dangerous. He's intimidating. He's aggressive. And Navin just plays that so, so well. And actually, you talk a lot about the chemistry between Belvinda Sopel and Heather Peace, but actually the chemistry between Sopel and Navin Chowdhury has been top-notch
it's
as well, I think.
Spot on. They are really... There's no doubt that they've known each other that long, is there?
Exactly. Yeah.
But also, I've got to say, big up to him, because if you knew him as Kurt from Teachers, you have no idea yeah. how different their characters are.
Well, this
are.
Is what
so,
I mean. You
even
said
more
this.
Credit to him.
I remember us talking about this, and you thinking, yeah, I'm having difficulty separating them, but I take it now, done and dusted. Like,
yeah.
This is,
oh, God,
this is...
yeah. He's definitely not Kurt from Teachers anymore. No. Oh, God. No.
Yeah. So he goes through Suki's phone and messages Eve and tells her to meet him at the restaurant. Now, I've just, from this point onwards, your heart is in your mouth. You're sort of like, where the hell is this going? Because we didn't know anything. So that's all.
I had issues with this. Because
okay, go on.
Obviously, I know why Eve did this. Mm-hmm. And this is also a credit to Navin Chowdhury, right? Because I felt sorry for Nish. Because
when he went
a bit too far, because at the end of the day, he's still heartbroken. I know that he's an absolute D-I-C-K.
Yeah.
Right? But I was like, all right, Eve, calm down. Like,
did you really? That's fascinating.
But I also know why she did it. She's like, thank God. Oh, I'm bringing it all off my chest now.
Well, this is it. This
Screw
is a
you.
Year.
You're awful.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to tell you and I'm going to make you angry. But it weren't just the fact that I'm not saying I felt sorry for him all the way through whatsoever. There were just certain moments. But I also thought, you're shooting yourself in foot. You know what a psycho he is. What are you doing? Just
not
focus
scared,
on
though.
Trying to get out.
We've always said this about Eve, right? That she is not scared of anybody. Like, do you remember when she was... I remember the conversation me and you had about when she was... going head-to-toe with Vinny? And, you know, Vinny.
Yeah.
And obviously, who's scared of Vinny?
Yeah, yeah.
But we were talking about, like, how that could have been anybody. That could have been Phil. And Eve would not have cared less. So the fact that Eve went so mad at Nish did not surprise me at all. It didn't feel out of character. I totally got that. And I didn't think... I think she was scared because she knows what he's capable of. And I think going through Eve's mind... Yeah. I think going through Eve's mind at that moment was, right, okay, he's either going to... let me go or he's going to kill me, so I may as well say what I want to say now. And this is a year of watching someone she has fallen head over heels with be abused,
be manipulated,
probably be raped, let's be honest, because of the conversations that they've had to have. We know it's sort of like a bit of an unspoken, well, we say it's a bit of an unspoken thing, apart from a certain scene this week, which we'll come into in a second. But that scene between Nish and Eve was amazing. Like, it was electric, that scene. The lighting throughout that scene was beautiful because it was set at night, and as we all know, Albert Square at night is the best place on earth. So it's that whole scene was absolutely fantastic, and there was things there that the viewers have been wanting Nish to hear for an entire year, and it all came out of the character that they loved to pieces in Eve. And Heather Peace was amazing as well. Oh, it was great.
She was, and I'm not saying that she shouldn't. Do you know what it was? The reason I was like a bit angry or whatever is because I was thinking, you're not safe, Eve. Stop saying this. Shut up. I know you want to say it, and I'm kind of feeling sorry for him, but I'm only feeling sorry for him.
I know what you mean,
I know you're now going to get hurt as well. Like,
Well, you say this, and yes, by the way, but I totally agree with you that there was modicums of sympathy for Nish at that moment because he looked so heartbroken. This wasn't just him like getting angrier and angrier and angrier throughout the scene. Like, he was devastated. So again, full props to Navin Chowdhury, because that was all in the performance. So he was amazing at that moment. However, I actually thought at one point Eve was going to kill Nish. I thought he was going to kill her. I thought she was going to kill him in self-defense, and that was going to be a massive twist out of nowhere that just instantly removed Nish, the key suspect, from the six list. And we would all have been
absolutely bored. We kept seeing all the knives and everything. Yeah, that's what leading I kept into thinking. All of that. Before we saw the knives, I'm thinking, you're in a kitchen full of knives, Eve. Get out. Just get out.
Yeah.
I were actually thinking, at least just do it in the actual restaurant. There'll be cameras in there as well. Well, that doesn't matter, clearly, because, that wasn't the safe place,
no,
was it?
Because, yes, as we... And there was also, the fans have been going insane all year about clues and Easter eggs towards the mystery. The knives... the way the scene was lit, there was sort of like hints that the knives that were all lined up quite specifically were all sort of in the six colors. Did you notice that? There was sort of...
No, I did not notice that, but hygiene-wise, that could have been why it was, because there's
different colored knives, but that works as well, doesn't it? That would be quite a clever little thing. It was so well directed this week, by the way. I thought everything about the direction was beautiful. So Eve eventually does leave. She listens to you. She can say, hang on, there's a northern voice telling me to leave. I better go. So she leaves.
A fellow northern voice saying, get out.
Go on. Be off with you. So she leaves the kitchen and Nish follows her and grabs a bottle. Even my brain that's rubbish at spotting all these clues notices the bottle, because that's a bottle, and that we know that there's a bottle in the sixth thing, so someone gets potentially killed with a bottle. So I don't know, that was something that we felt we needed to pay attention to. But Nish knocks her out and she's lying on the floor. Now again, did you think for a second, oh my god, Eve's dead? Was there any moment
I messaged you while I were watching it, Rob, and like, oh my god, She's not dead. And then I'm like, oh, my God, no, she's not. She's breathing.
She's not. It's fine. But then Ravi turns up. Yes. And this is where Nish is at his most manipulative. And this, I think, actually was the most fascinating aspect of the week, was the Ravi and Nish dynamic here. Now, again, there was some beautiful dialogue given to Nish at this moment, where he was talking to Ravi about like how he's disappointed in all his kids, basically just manipulating Ravi into doing what he wanted. Did he mean any of that?
No, I think it was just in the moment I think he just wanted him to do what he wanted him to do in that moment. He was saying, you're my boy, you're my only boy. Yeah. Basically, I don't want to get my own hands dirty, so will you crack on, please?
That's all that was, really, wasn't it? But like all the things he was saying to Ravi. And I'd sort of forgotten about how desperate Ravi was for Nish's approval and for Nish to be his dad. So that was all very much kind of flown to the...
I now don't think that Ravi is like that. I think he's scared of him. I think he's more
he's
scared
terrified
of him than
100%.
Wanting his approval now. I think Vinny's on the approval thing more than Ravi. I think Ravi was... And now Ravi's seen Nish's true character. Now I think he's just scared of him and he doesn't actually want his approval.
Well...
A side room that does a little bit. But...
Well, I think that Ravi was scared of Nish anyway, because if you think back to that week where the Denise, Jack and Ravi thing got revealed, and there was that big scene between Ravi and Nish where Nish slapped him and he kind of ran to the floor.
Yeah.
There is nobody else on the square that Ravi would have taken that from, because Jack had been beating him up like earlier on that night and he went insane at him. So
Ravi could probably have Nish.
Of course he could. Of course he could.
This is one of the gripes I've got, but we'll get to it.
It's not a gripe for me. Yeah, but that's not a gripe to me, because again, this is all mind games with Nish, and Nish has 100% got inside Ravi's head.
For me, I'm thinking, if Nish is this big bad guy, why is he getting his son? to do this to Eve? Has he not got some like hitmen or some other gangsters that he knows? He's always getting his sons to do his dirty work.
Oh, see, now that's interesting.
Is that just to do with the control? But
that's, yeah, 100% that's just to do with the control, because that is him saying to his sons, yeah, I will give you the fatherly love you so desire, but you need to do this for me first, and then that will be us sorted.
So transactional love.
Absolutely. He is a businessman in not only career, but in his relationships as well.
True. Right.
That is Nish, that's Nish through and through.
Well, everything that's my gripe for the week gone. Thanks, Rob, for clearing that one
very,
up.
Very, very welcome. So he basically persuades Ravi to, well, what he wants Ravi to do is to take Eve away and finish her off. Now, was there there wasn't a second where I thought that Ravi was actually going to do it. Okay, not for a second, but I was surprised at how close Ravi came to doing it. I thought that when he had her in a car, I thought he had what ultimately happened in his head.
You were listening to a right tune, by the way. Does anyone know what song you were listening to?
I don't know. That was a correct tune though, wasn't it?
If anyone does, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Meanwhile, whilst he's driving Eve away in the boot of his car, he drives past Suki, who is standing outside the tube station. This was heartbreaking, where she's just waiting for Eve and constantly trying to message her, constantly trying to ring her, and she's there too late. The doors close and she's just left in the street, frightened, sort of kind of worried about what's going to happen. There was a really nice bit of imagery where the doors closed in front of her, and it was like a prison cell closing in front of her, and you're sort of like, yep, yeah, and now she's trapped again. You know, I thought that was a really nice moment. So Ravi, meanwhile, takes Eve, I think, to Walford Common, wasn't it? I think it was the same place that Lucy was left, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was the same place as Lucy,
So they go to the common and Eve escapes. There's a nice kind of little fight sequence.
I mean,
drones out and everything. It was great.
To me, that were a bit of proof that Ravi were out of his depth, because why would you have not have thought of tying her feet up? It was almost like he maybe wanted her to escape.
Well, she wasn't conscious when she went in the boot.
Yeah, but then he said kneel and then turned his back. Like, why would you do that? Like, come on. She only had her hands and her mouth were gagged, weren't it?
Yeah, well, I think what happened there was, I think that's why the music went on, because when she was unconscious when she went into the boot, and I think he was kind of hoping she'd be unconscious all the way through, and then all I need to do is bury her alive, and she will never know. But I think on the way to the common, she started banging on the boot, so I think that's why the music went on, so that nobody could hear it, and then he was kind of like driving on going, oh God, I need to actually kill her now, oh my God. But I think that's what happened there. You might be right, though. But she gets out of the car and they have this great little fight sequence and a chase sequence all the way through the common at night, and the drones are all out. It was all marvelous, all really, really nicely filmed. And basically, it was a bit sort of Snow White and the Huntsman, essentially, wasn't it? Like, you know, I half expected Ravi to kind of have to steal the heart out of a deer or something and take it back to Nishigar. I killed her, I did it. Look, I've got a heart.
Yeah, that's
here.
True. Yeah.
But he basically tells Eve to run. Never come back, and if you come back, I will kill you, I will kill Stacey, I will kill... Do you know what I mean? Like, just go through it. And I don't think he meant any of that.
No, I don't think he did, but it were the words. But there was the one point where I actually... You know that shot when he got the wood and he went, I actually thought he were doing it.
Did you?
For a split second. I didn't think you were going to do it all the way through. And then when that moment, oh my God, no, he's going to kill her. And then it went in ground and I was like, oh my God.
It's one of the reasons why I find Ravi to be such a fascinating character. Do you know what? A big statement here again, all right? Going back to a past character, he sort of reminds me... I think he's got the same sort of role that Grant ultimately had. Like, that real bad boy where you can imagine that he would have done, but would he have done? You know, and I think he's got that longevity about him as well, where he's just going to be the squares bad boy where you sort of love him because he's a bad boy.
Or has he got that longevity
anti-hero role about him as well, you know? It's just, he's a great, 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 great character. And he runs away, and that leaves Suki with Nish in her house. Horrible scene where Nish basically forces her to kiss him. Basically, that all got very, very kind of uncomfortable to watch.
Very uncomfortable.
But it was just all totally, again, just such a well-done scene in terms of how uncomfortable it made us, how much it made us hate Nish, how much it wanted us to reach through the screen and pull Suki out. And you sit in our living room until we've sorted this out. It's fine. It was just so, so, so well done and heartbreaking and exciting and tense, and it was amazing. So what in God's name happens now? Where has Eve gone? When does she come back? What? How is Nish not on the floor on Christmas Day? Like, what the hell?
Right, she's either in Leeds or Brighton. But then she's again, Brighton. Really
this is what this is where Eve goes. Right? Do you know what I need after all that? Yeah. I need to go and pull in Brighton. That's Eve's well, way.
Didn't they decide? Didn't Irasuki decide that's where they were going?
I can't.
After
I mean,
Glasgow thing
after
fell
the
through.
Glasgow fell through, yeah, possibly. I can't remember where they were actually going to end
well,
up.
Because I remember thinking, well, you're not hiding very well from Nish, because surely that's one of the first places he's going to go looking for you. Like, yeah. Eve, you're always in Brighton. We all know that. Come on.
But then at that point, when they were planning on running away, Nish had no, like, Nish, because we found out what she'd put in that letter. And the thing that she put in the letter was, I've been having an affair, but she never mentioned the fact that I've been having a lesbian affair. So she wouldn't have been looking for Eve.
I didn't think she'd wrote about an affair. I thought
she did because that's how I think that's how Priya, because I think she quoted back bits of the letter to her. I think it was in the letter.
I thought there was a moment where Priya looked at her and went, "Oh, unless you've got a bit on the side,
it could be right,
something like that."
Oh, you could be right. Like we said, that felt like months ago when that happened at the start of the week. So either way, Nish would have worked. Well, I think as also you know as we've seen Nish
but
kick off
Eve's
about.
Gone.
When she's gone, he's always convinced that she'd been having an affair anyway. So, yeah. But Eve, I don't think at any point would have been a suspect in his head. I don't know where this goes from here. I mean, obviously, online, all the Suki fans were devastated and really angry and upset that this had happened, which I get. But you know that Suki is still there on Christmas Day, so they were never going to be able to get away with this. They were never going to run away together. This was always going to happen.
It's basically a case of when's Ravi going to spill the beans to Suki, I think.
Is it Ravi that does this? Ravi's going to ultimately be the hero of the story, do you think?
Well, possibly. Or is Vinny going to say, oh, yeah, Mum, I told Dad to check the cameras at the minute mark, and then Suki's going to go, he's found out, hasn't he?
Vinny's grounded for a month when Suki finds out about this.
Two months.
Yeah.
And no Christmas presents.
Absolutely no Christmas presents.
A part of me thought that Suki might have already figured it out, and I was waiting for her to like scream at Nish and go, what have you done to her, or something at one point, because I thought she might have put two and two together. Nish has been out at midnight and Eve's sending me these text messages randomly out of the blue. But she didn't. And I also thought, he's left Eve's phone on loud. You know, when she tried to ring Eve's phone?
She
laid down. I was like, he's left it on loud? Is she going to figure it out? But it's just a case of when's it going to come out, and then is Eve going to come back?
Of course. I mean, she'll be back. She'll 100% be back. She will 100% be back. But now the question is, and I guess she comes back Christmas week, having like with the worst hangover because she's just been going mad in Brighton for 2 weeks, I guess. And then
maybe she's going to go and put some plans in place and be like, right, I've got to set somewhere up for us. Now let's jet.
And yet that plan ultimately has to go wrong again. In order for, I don't see how Nish survives past Christmas. I don't understand. I don't think it happens. What I'm going to say now is my ultimate prediction is that, think of the trailers. We got Suki's trailer this week, by the way, and what a trailer it was! Amazing trailer. Suki's running away, and I said at the start when it became clear that the trailers were all connected and that Suki's was going to be last. Suki's trailer was going to be last because it's her that this all is all going to revolve around, okay? And Linda is cleaning some blood off upstairs. I think there's going to be a scene between her and Dean where Dean is going to end up dead upstairs, and then Nish is going to end up dead downstairs, and other six are going to be left with two bodies to deal with, and that's going to push the next year going forwards, because not only will we have the aftermath of one murder, but two to be pushing us forward into 2024. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think that Suki will be the killer. I think it's more likely to be Vinny or Ravi, maybe. I think Vinny, if I'm honest.
I've been thinking Ravi. I've been thinking it might be Ravi after this week, wouldn't it?
Ravi is 100% not on the floor on Christmas Day.
See, I hope not. I actually really hope
I don't
not.
Think he will
there
be.
Is a possibility.
I don't think so.
Like you say, with Priya and Avani coming in, it'd be unlikely.
And also the fact that Ravi has got so much to him as a character. Like, he could go on in this vein for months and years, you know, in different storylines and different sort of bad boy stories and love interests. Like, Ravi has a future.
You know what you just said about Linda's going to be cleaning Dean's blood? I think that it's going to be someone's got attacked upstairs. And remember me saying to you, she's going to be drunk and maybe not remember what's happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think she might just see blood and there might not be a body. So she's just going to clean the blood up going, I have no idea what's happened here. Have I already got rid of the body?
I've got a hangover. There's blood on my floor. What is going on? And then you walk downstairs for a glass of water and there's another bloody dead body on your floor. A bad Christmas for Linda is coming.
Very bad Christmas.
Oh my God, what a week. Amazing, 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 amazing. I have no idea who to give my gold star to this week.
I know who mine's going to, actually.
Go on. Go on.
Mine's going to my favourite, Ravi.
You're going to get to Ravi.
I just love his character so much. I just think, it's Ravi for me. Before Thursday's episode, I was giving it to Nish, but 100%.
Just because of because we always said the gold stars of the characters that really stood out, and Nish really did stand out. I thought the performance of Nish was amazing this week. I think I'm going to give mine to Eve. I think Nish nearly got it, in all fairness, but I think that scene in the kitchen was just so good, and
she has done really well.
And the stuff that went on between her and Ravi, it had to be, I think, Eve, 100%. Who would you give a gold star to this week? Let us know in the comments section below. What a week it was. Where the hell is your head at with the sixth storyline? We are officially in December, ladies and gentlemen. We want your theories. We shall read your theories out whenever you send them to us, all right? Because we now want to, we want to get to this before the show reveals it. We want to be smug on the Christmas Day episode where we're like, yes, we got this. No, I don't think we will be either. But this is the run-up to it now. Anything that happens now, we need to be paying extra special attention. By the way, I think nearly forgot to mention this, the tree in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
Tree in the woods. When Eve was hiding behind one of the trees running from Ravi, carved into the tree was the word sixth. The number six and then TH.
It's clear as well. There's you can't deny that that's where
that had to be deliberate.
It's not a coincidence. Someone's done that. Someone's just trying to be clever now.
Someone's messing with our heads.
Because what are you lot on EastEnders trying to be clever, putting sixth on a tree?
What does that mean?
Why?
It's not like it said seventh. Did it? No. We're like, if it had said seven, we'd be like, okay, so it's going to be a surprise. She's a seventh woman. Oh, wow, but that's not what happened. Suki was the sixth trailer released. So does that mean that we should now be paying a special attention to everything that happens with Suki because it's all going to be revolved around her? Does it mean that Suki is the killer? Does it definitely mean that Nish is on the floor on Christmas Day? Or Ravi, because he was chasing her through the woods at that moment? Oh, it hasn't helped us at all. But it felt like something we should be paying attention to.
I think they're just dropping us loads of red herrings in. I reckon someone will be like, should we carve sixth in the tree and see if anyone notices? Yeah, go on. Let's give something else to have a chinwag about.
Honestly, this storyline is incredible, isn't it? And the six campaign stuff with all the different trailers throughout the year, I think has been the best promo EastEnders have ever done for a storyline. Like the Who Killed Lucy stuff was amazing. Like I remember all the different load. They did a load of stuff for the Who Killed Lucy storyline, and that was incredible. But this in itself has actually been quite simple in the way that they've done it. Just they release a little mini trailer for each woman, and they are all connected. And the trailer sort of tells its own story, and yet doesn't tell its own story. So you sort of have to read between the lines of each trailer. And you have to work out what order they all go in as well. Like, it's just genius. It's so clever.
I just had one thing I wanted to mention, right? And how is this going to be relevant to Christmas Day?
Yes.
And I'm just trying to think of the other three women that I've not thought of in this. So we've had Linda. There's a recurrence here. Linda's been to Dean and been forced to say that he didn't rape her, right?
Then you've had
Stacey going to Theo and pretending that
she didn't want a relationship with it, and then we've
got Suki going to Nish pretending that she wants a relationship with him. So what about the other three women? Is Denise going to really want to split up with Jack and then she's going to somehow go, no, I want to be... Do you know what I'm saying? Am I looking too much into it? There's a recurrence there between half of the women.
Yeah, I think Denise's role in this is going to be clearer in the coming weeks because I think Denise is back next week or the week after. Like, she's back soon. So everything
Sharon's
that's going
to do it as well. Sharon's going to pretend she wants to be with Keanu when she's really found out what's happened. Same with Kathy, maybe, and Rocky.
I feel like Kathy's got the weakest motive at this moment. But a load of people think it's going to be Kathy.
Yeah, her trailer stands out though as well,
because
really,
she's the only one. Think? She's the only one attacking, isn't she? Well, all the rest are
it's
sort of running.
It's almost out of place. Her trailer,
yeah, but then
compared to the others,
yeah, because all the rest are
well,
hiding.
Suki's is as well.
Or scared. Yeah, but Suki's running away. You know, Stacey looks terrified in hers. Linda looks terrified in hers. Sharon just looks hot in hers.
True. Whereas Kathy's
like
angry.
Angrily hacking away. So Kathy, if you were to show those trailers to someone who isn't a fan of EastEnders and said, pick the killer out of those six, they're going, well, that'll be the angry woman then.
That is true.
You know,
that's so true.
Oh, I don't know. Let us know in the comments section below. Talking of your comments, we shall now read them from all the emails and comments you have left for us this week. Okay, ladies and gents, before we go into any comments that we have had, it's worth noting it has been announced that there is going to be on BBC Three on December the 11th at 8 o'clock, a special programme about the Six storyline. This is going to be presented by Joe Swash, and it's going to feature all the actresses in the Six storyline talking about their theories. And apparently, according to Chris Clenshaw, there will be some exclusive news released in that documentary as well. God only knows what that's going to be, but that's very exciting. So mark that in your calendars. 11th of December, 8 o'clock on BBC Three, and then will immediately be released on iPlayer afterwards. Boom. Right then, Ree, you have had a very, very interesting email, haven't you?
Yes, we've had an email from Amber, whose birthday is...
Happy birthday, Amber.
Week. Happy birthday, Amber. And she's having an EastEnders-themed birthday party on the 2nd, which is when this is being released. Not only is it an EastEnders-themed party, right? They're taking it next level. Her friend's nan's knitted her a Lou Beale cardigan.
I love it.
Her and her housemates study ceramics at uni, and they're making themed plates for everyone. And one of them has sculpted a Queen Vic bust, which we've got to show the listeners, Rob.
Oh, yes, 100%. Yeah, they sent the pictures. I'll post that right now. That's what that bust looks like, and I think you'll agree that looks incredible. I want these friends. I want these friends to have these.
I want one of these plates. Yeah. Amber has kindly offered us one of these plates, and I am actually very excited at the prospect of one of these plates.
Very
Amber.
Much so. However, there is payment for these plates, it would transpire, in the form of...
Yes, there is. Quiz questions.
Yes.
So Amber has asked myself and Rob to do... She only asked one quiz question, and guess what, Amber? You're getting four.
You're getting two each. A whole round.
Because we've been thinking on this, me and Rob have. So if you'd like to play along at home as well, we'll reveal the answers on next week's podcast, but we'll email Amber the answers.
Yeah.
The answers. So the first question for Amber and Partey is... Which role did Lacey Turner originally audition for in 2004 before Showbosses created the role of Stacey Slater specifically for her? Which role did Lacey Turner audition for originally? The next question I've got for you. How many husbands did Pat Butcher have? And bonus points if you can name them all.
Very, very good.
There you go. Have you got two questions, Rob?
I have indeed. Question number three is, how many Duff Duffs are in the EastEnders theme tune at the start? We always talk about the Duff Duff. How many Duff Duffs are there? And your final question, number four, is, because it's 6 months, I want to know which characters in the whole of EastEnders have had the most appearances. The top six appearances by characters. Which six characters have had the most appearances in EastEnders? We will reveal the answers to you guys on next week's podcast, but we will email those questions to Amber. Amber, I hope you have an absolutely amazing birthday, and your friends sound amazing to do in this. I love it, I love it, I love it.
And send us pictures of the party.
Send us pictures.
As well,
we want to see it.
We want to see it all. Yeah.
You want all of that. So, yeah, have an amazing, amazing night. Right then, on to comments.
This is from Instagram, from Rachel Alice June, who said about Wednesday's episode, Navin was so good tonight. This is why I don't want him on the floor, because he just always gets it right. And Jack now has my concern that he'll get attacked by Theo or Denise. I don't think I can sleep tonight because this episode was too good.
Listen to whale music. That's what I do. Just listen to whale music or the sound of the sea. That'll relax you. I know Navin was amazing this week, but I do not see how Navin won't die. You can't kill actors for real. I don't think that's in the contract. I don't see how Nish survives past Christmas Day. Like, what future is there in terms of his character after being this evil for so long?
I agree.
You can only do that for so long. In some way, even if he is not on the floor, Nish is gone by Christmas in some way. Okay, he has to be.
Unless he's the killer or something like that. I know what you're saying.
My head hurts. Simon Paris has said, a terrific end to a highly memorable week. Great work done on Thursday night with a tight cast of only 6 actors. Yeah, those are my favourite sort of episodes. Yeah. My favourite type of episode is make it set at night and then get the cast ridiculously small and have those 6 people just talking to each other. It was amazing. I loved it. Yes. And final comment from Luke Garham. Hope I pronounced that right. Anyone else notice that when Eve stood in the hallway being questioned by Nish, that the family photo just showed her and Kirat? I'm assuming that's Suki and Kirat. And it was super clear and in focus. I wondered if it was a hint. Is Kirat coming back to stand by his mum like in the photo? Will he be the one to kill Nish?
There's no way that Kirat's going to get released from jail this soon.
But what if he does?
Surely not.
Anything is possible at the moment. This is the thing. In the run-up to Christmas, I don't think you can take anything off the table. I really, really don't. I would not be surprised if we get a surprise return by someone at some point in the run-up to Christmas. Wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't surprise
Max,
me.
And he's going to be on the floor. Yeah. There you go.
Imagine bringing Max back and then immediately killing him.
No.
That would never happen. No. Well, there we are then. What a week. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back same time next week. I don't know any major stuff that's kicking off next week, but anything can happen. We've got the fallout from everything that happened this week, so that should be good. If you would like to email us your theories of the 6 or any other questions or feedback or anything like that, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Instagram and Twitter at E20 After Dark. You can like and subscribe on our YouTube channel, Albert Square After Dark, and find us on all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
There we are then. Thank you very much indeed, Ree. Like I said, same time next week. We are in the run-up to the 6 storylines climax. I'm so, so excited. Right, so we'll be back same time next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Bye.